Hey, I just want to take a few moments here. I know our time was adjusted quite a lot this morning, but thank you again for just participating in that wonderful moment. So I want to just take a few moments and come back very briefly to this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. I don't want to leave any one of these out because they're so important. Now, if you're just joining us today as a child dedication guest, we're in this series called The Beatitudes, which is a series of statements that Jesus made to help us understand or define what the kingdom is. Now, it's interesting to note that every one of these statements begins with the word blessing. So this is that portion of scripture that's all about blessing. But then again, that's the theme of the Bible. From Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, God blesses humanity. And this theme of blessing is a theme like no other in the Bible. And it encompasses the entirety of God's goodness to each one of us. That's why child dedication is primarily a ceremony of blessing over the child and over the parents. Here's something that you need to know. There's a truth. If you don't walk away with anything else today, I want you to walk away with this. And that is this. You will walk or live under a divine blessing. A divine blessing if you align yourself with the values of the kingdom. So the blessed life is no secret. Jesus doesn't keep it from us. He puts it right out there and he says, this is what it means to live a blessed life. And then he gave us these Beatitudes. There's no secret, no holding back. He wants the absolute best for every single one of us, and he puts it right out there. This is how you live that blessed life. You will walk under divine blessing if you align yourself with the values of the kingdom. Now, what makes this harder than it is easy is the fact that these values of the kingdom don't come naturally to us. Like when we read them, it's not like what we would choose. It's not what our natural self would choose to do this. Jesus says things like, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who are meek. Those who show mercy. That list is counterintuitive. What Jesus says may not look like the path to happiness. Mourning, hunger, persecution. We don't put those things on our bucket list. And yet Jesus says, these are my priorities for my children for the all-important reason that they reflect his nature and they embody his purposes. God has a purpose for every single one of us. And he reveals it in Jesus giving these Beatitudes. See, the purpose for his church is to have a positive, compelling influence on the world around us. So today I want to add one more blessing to the list. And it's not to the list of Beatitudes. I think Jesus did okay without me on that list. But I want to add one more blessing that shows up in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, or Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, where Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, I can only imagine that as soon as Jesus said the word pure, bells and whistles started going off in the minds of those who were listening to him. Because if there was one word that captured what religion was all about in that culture, it was the word purity. To be pure was to be clean and not infected with the wrong things. And so for the religious leaders that Jesus was talking to, it was about keeping certain rules, including rules about food. Certain foods were clean and certain foods were unclean. And if you ate unclean foods, you were unclean. And if you ate with someone who was unclean, you also were unclean. And these religious leaders, the Pharisees, went to great measures to show that they were pure by abstaining from unclean food. And this was not just that health conscious decision or discussion over the nutritional value of bacon. Come on, there's a lot of nutrition there, right? Neither was it talking about all the nitrates that ooze out of your charcuterie boards. No, this goes all the way back to a law that God gave to Moses about clean and unclean foods. And the law was simply this: if you ate unclean food, you were unclean, and if you ate with someone that was unclean, that made you unclean. But now Jesus comes on the scene and he challenges the entire concept about what is pure and about what is clean. And Jesus says in Matthew 23, he told these people that they were too worried about cleaning the outside of the cup and not giving enough attention to the inside. Come on, you know the most important part of the cup is the inside, right? You can have a mug or you can have a thermos. It can be pretty dirty on the outside, but it's good if it's clean on the inside. Jesus even went to the measure of comparing them to whitewashed tombs, which were sparkling on the outside, but filled with death on the inside, right? Like you can have the most beautiful casket overlaid with the most beautiful flowers that speak of life, but it's still the fact that someone inside is dead. It's pretty harsh, but it illustrates where Jesus thought it was most important to be clean and to be pure. Painting and exteriors are nice, but it's the interior that counts. See, a great part of this upside down and inside out message of Jesus is that God doesn't look so much on the outside, which is so easily fake, right? He chooses to look on the inside where we are what we are. Over in the book of 1 Samuel 16, there's a perfect example of this. It was time for Samuel to go to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel. And as he shows up at Jesse's house, he's looking at all the possible candidates. And he picks out one. And he said, that has got to be the next king. Here's what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Jesse's son Eliab. And he said to himself, that man that is standing there in the Lord's presence, surely that is the one that the Lord has chosen. But the Lord said to him, pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him because I do not judge people as people judge. They look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. I look right into the heart. But we still do that today. See, we tend to judge the character and worth of other people by looking at their outward appearance. So if a person is tall or good-looking, well-built, or wearing some kind of a tastefully dressed outfit, then he or she possesses the qualities that humans generally admire, like we want that person on our leadership team. They look so good. They have to be a leader, right? And we make all these judgments based on the outside. But God has this unique ability to see inside a person. God knows our true character because he looks at the heart. So Jesus drops this word pure right in the middle of this sixth beatitude, and he applies it to the human heart. Now, there are two words that I believe define what the human heart or what pure in heart means. Number one is the word unmixed. Unmixed. No unnecessary ingredients put into it. So there was one day, I was one of my like health conscious days, I decided to make this pretty high protein health drink. So I got out the Ninja, poured in the fruit juice, put in the frozen fruit, put in the Greek yogurt, natural Greek yogurt, put some natural honey in to sweeten it. And I'm thinking, you know what? I really want to make this health conscious. So I reached into the refrigerator, grabbed a handful of kale, and put that into the blender. Kale has amazing nutritional value. It's great with antioxidants, has a lot of other good qualities to it. So I thought, this is going to be the perfect health drink. Hit the blender. Man, it started. And it came out perfect consistency. It had that like green-brown health look to it. You know what I mean? It doesn't look pretty, but it tasted absolutely horrible. It was horrible. And the reason it tasted horrible was because when I grabbed that handful of greens, I grabbed cilantro instead of kale, right? I did. Now, cilantro has its own value, but it's more valuable as a garnish on your salsa. It has absolutely no business in a smoothie, so it's no good. But I wonder sometimes if my heart resembles my smoothie. I've got a lot of good stuff in there. One bad ingredient thrown in, though, kind of makes the whole thing taste bad, doesn't it? One bad ingredient. And so the word pure means unmixed. No bad ingredients thrown in. But you know what Satan wants to do? Constantly wants to throw these ingredients, these bad ingredients, into your heart as well. God's word has a lot to say about the kind of things we should allow in our minds and our hearts. And I'm going to just connect both of those right now, the mind and the heart, because they do go together. But Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, after he writes an entire book about what it means to live joyfully in your life, he says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, think about such things. See, whenever your heart is filled with the right ingredients, it's a recipe that pleases God and brings great blessing into your lives. When your heart is filled with the right things, it is unmixed. The second word that I believe defines a pure heart is the word sincere. Sincere. When Jesus speaks of a pure heart, he's talking about one that is honest and has no little ugly places hidden in it. See, sometimes we like to compartmentalize our heart. And we're like, okay, God, you can have this part of my heart. You can have this part, but I'm going to reserve this one little section to my own desires, my own lust, or my own mind, right? We kind of reserve someplace, but that's not sincerity of heart. The Beatitudes are stated at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry in Matthew chapter 5, and they offer us a list of blessings. But near the end of his ministry, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus gives another list. It's not a list of blessings, though. It's a list of woes. Woe is this. Woe is that. See, at this point in time right now, Jesus' arrest is very near. He knows he only has a few more days to live. And he aims his message, his final message, at the Pharisees and their hypocrisy. Ooh, you know what a hypocrite is, don't you? A hypocrite is someone who looks different on the outside than they actually are on the inside. They pretend to be something that they are not. You know what I hear sometimes as a pastor from people who don't attend church? People don't like to attend church because the church is full of hypocrites. I mean, it's just an excuse. But maybe there's more reality to that than we would like to believe. But see, Jesus is addressing this final message to the hypocrites because he knows that they need to clean up the inside of their cup a little bit more. So he addresses their hypocrisy, which is actually the opposite of sincerity. And he says of these people in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." You know that you can sing all the right things. You can say all the right things. I can preach all the right things, but it means absolutely nothing if it does not come from a pure heart. I don't want you to miss this. Jesus begins his ministry by saying, "Blessed are the pure in heart," and he ends his ministry by saying, "Woe to you if you are a hypocrite." And that word woe is exactly the opposite of blessed. It's also an expression of grief. So Jesus is simply saying that the best things come from God to those who have pure hearts, unmixed and sincere. Now, just in the last couple minutes, let me just very briefly tell you how to keep your heart pure, because this is important. Number one is this: be quick to believe. See, our pure hearts can very easily be mixed with fear and doubt and unbelief. It's a constant battle to keep fear and unbelief out of our hearts. There's enough to fear, isn't there? We fear tomorrow, we fear next year. We maybe have a fear for our children, like with this world that they're growing up in. But God has given us his word. He's given us his promises. He's given us his truth. Be quick to believe it. And you do not need to fear. You can keep your heart pure. Number two is be quick to forgive. That is a second area in your heart that if you mix unforgiveness in your heart, it becomes hard after a while. And Jesus even said this many, many places, but the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 32, "I want you to be kind to each other. I don't want you to be tender-hearted, not hard-hearted. Be tender-hearted and forgiving one another as Christ forgave you." Be quick to believe. Be quick to forgive. And number three, be quick to repent. This is a third area of purity that we have to watch, because anytime we mix stubbornness with our pure hearts, we refuse to admit our mistakes. You know, everyone can miss it. We can all mess up. There can be misunderstandings. There can be wrong opinions. There can be a loss of temper. But the problem is when we can't admit it. See, we begin to blame others. We hide our own faults and we deny our responsibility. Have you ever met someone who's never wrong? Right? They're always right. They just can't admit the fact that they're wrong. But see, Jesus would come along and say, no, listen, if you can't practice forgiveness, and if you can't come to a place of repentance, if you can't ever say that you're sorry, listen, you're going to calcify your heart and it will become hard. But Jesus comes along and he says in this sixth beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And you can almost be certain that the opposite is also true. Those who do not have pure hearts will not see God. I don't know where your heart is today. I can't see into your heart, but God does. I just want to end with a little prayer today. We're actually going to sing together. Because see, here's what happens. The way that you first of all have a pure heart is by asking Jesus to come into that heart, to cleanse it from all of that sin that we were born with. Right? That's how we do it by faith. But sometimes even when we have that pure heart, it gets dirty because we walk through a dirty world, don't we? And we pick up some dirt from the world, and somebody out there, our enemy, is going to toss some dirt and some wrong ingredients into the blender of our hearts. And it gets a little bit ugly. So I just want to end today by giving you an opportunity to come before God and just saying, God, just create in me today that clean heart. Create in me that pure heart and renew that right spirit within me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We want to see God because the opposite is eternity apart from God. I want everyone in this room, all generations of members in this room, to one day not only enjoy family here on this earth, but to enjoy our family for eternity in heaven. Amen.